as long as that guy has a TV show, my goal is to just take him off the air.
Shut the hell up. Okay, what's
up? Shut up. Roland Martin from the House of Martin. I've been watching Game of Thrones. try to get my white friends back that supported Trump as a conversation starter. But anyway, Roland Martin, good morning.
Glad you're watching. I've never seen the show.
You tripping.
Never. Never.
Yeah.
No. That's okay.
Me either. I'm on season 3 now. Yeah.
Good. You can watch for the both of us. Great.
Okay. The threes of us.
Well, certainly happy 2017, Tom, Sybil, Damon as well. It was, I hate for us to start the way we're going to start, but the Chicago Sun-Times had this stunning magazine, stunning cover. They had the faces of the nearly 800 people who were murdered in the Windy City in 2016. On Saturday, Tom, more than 750 people walked down the Magnificent Mile carrying crosses bearing the name of nearly all those folks who were killed. Yesterday also, 60 Minutes did a profile on what in the world is happening in that city with the murder rate. Joining us right now is Mary Mitchell. She's a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
Mary, here's a very basic, fundamental question that I think is at the heart of all of this, because people keep asking me about it, and it's just very simple. What in the world can be done in the city? What is the cause of this explosive murder rate in the Windy City?
I would say that part of the problem, of course, is the lack of jobs and opportunities. The poverty. Chicago is a very segregated city, and you have poverty that is concentrated in certain areas of the city. You put that together with the splintering of gangs. There's no organized gangs anymore. We understand that there's an underground economy, but that underground economy has been driven by drug dealing, and of course drug dealing is the business of the gangs. So now you don't have anything organized. You have people going at each other over territory, and you have the proliferation of guns. Everybody has a gun. You got a gun, they got a gun, everybody has a gun.
You made a point there when you talked about
things together.
You made a point about the splintering of the gangs there, and I think that's an important thing. I talked to a pastor who organized a meeting with gang leaders. This was about 2 or 3 years ago, and the leader said, "Pastor, we can't tell you who's out here doing the killing because by the arrest of so many different top gang leaders, it used to be where they could know in a matter of a moment who was out there doing what. You now have many lone wolves out there."
Correct.
Okay, well Mary and Roland, what's the difference in what you just described and other cities in the country that don't have this murder rate? I mean, they say New York and L.A. combined, they don't have the murder rate.
And in this 1 year,
don't you have the same situations in every major city that?
No, I won't say that. I don't know what the situation is in New York and in Baltimore and those areas where our murder rate is higher. What I would say about Chicago that's different is that Chicago has a segregated city. So this is not happening all over Chicago. The entire city is not out of control. We're talking about certain communities in certain areas of Chicago. And when you talk about the splintering of the gangs, you also have to throw in social media. Now people can get on the phone and communicate very, very quickly. You have people who have in Chicago who have filmed themselves getting shot in the street. And then you add to that a total breakdown when it comes to opportunity. There are no jobs here. There are no living wage jobs.
Let's also talk about the police department. And what you have going on is you have one of the stories that your paper has done, Chicago Tribune has been reporting on this, where police officers there are admitting, oh, yeah, we have pulled back. In the 60 Minutes report yesterday, Bill Whitaker interviewed a union leader who talked about that. You have police officers who are getting paid who are not making stops, who are not arresting people, and they are ticked off because of measures to hold them accountable.
And also because, in all fairness, because the ACLU came against the police department very heavily for stops. And I'm not saying that, you know, the police should not be held accountable, but when you put that together with people who don't trust police in the first place, they're not calling the police in some of these communities. They're handling it on their own. If they get into a conflict, somebody pulls out a gun, they don't go and call the police. They go and get their gun.
What about Mayor Emanuel and his role in all of this too, Mary Mitchell?
Okay, well, Mayor Emanuel, I think he is basically treading water here, trying to stay keep from drowning in all of this. Because the first thing, he's pumped a lot of money and resources into mentoring programs and programs targeting young people in these communities. But that's a slow roll. That is something that's not going to pay off tomorrow. He's put a lot of pressure on Springfield to pass gun legislation that will hold repeat offenders accountable and keep them locked up. That has not gone well. He has tried to put money into creating jobs on the South Side and on the West Side, but one grocery store is not going to get it. This needs a massive infusion of resources on all of these levels, and then you add to holding the police accountable. I mean, I'm at the point now when thinking any police officer who admittedly says that he's not doing his job needs to be fired and he needs to be replaced.
And let's talk about this here. The Laquan McDonald case is critical. When that police officer was arrested and charged with murder, that was sort of the final straw for many of these officers. But Mary, you said this thing goes back to two previous superintendents.
Correct.
Where the officers in Chicago do not like any accountability measures to make them to be better officers to cut out on this police brutality.
Yes, because, you know, when Jody Weiss was the head of the police department, they didn't like him because he was an outsider, and B, the focus was on police accountability. They had had several scandals, and there was a crackdown on police and police activity. Then Phil Klein came in, and it was totally reversed. The concentration was on streets and gangs and arresting people on the street. And now we have Eddie Johnson.
A real insider.
Yeah, a real insider. We have Eddie Johnson, and Eddie Johnson, God bless him, he knows the police officers. He knows what's going on. He knows that there are some people that are not going to do their jobs. But right now, it is very, very difficult for him to get a handle on the police piece of it.
Well, let me just say, I live in Chicago, and I think it's hard to believe that if that was 750 or 800 white faces on that newspaper, that from every level of government, somebody wouldn't be doing something to save people in Chicago. So let's start with that.
I agree. All right.
I agree. Well, hopefully 2017 will be different for 2016, Mary Mitchell. Sure.
Thanks to the great
Thank
Mary
you so
Mitchell.
Much.
Thank you. Take care now.
Love you, Mary Mitchell. All right, Roland, good job.
All right, folks.